The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty, and
me, Lloyd Barnes.
You actually sounded like a sheep there, but you're not very well, are you, Lloyd? You're under the weather.
Well, I'm fine, but I've got like this killer cold or something. I think I've got rhinitis, or my wife thinks, or rhinitis, whatever that fucking is. I literally just can't breathe through my nose lately. Super like snotty and gross. So yeah, you may intermittently hear me silent. It's why I haven't been like recording lately, because I've just been like glugged up. It sounds like I've downed like a bucket of juice.
We would like to apologize that the Magic Podcast didn't go up last week.
Apologize. Really. We'd like to apologize to all one of our listeners. We probably told you anyway. Lloyd doesn't care anymore. He's lost the will to live. He's given up. We're looking for a replacement host. If anybody wants it's yours. You can fucking have it.
I fucking love the fact that this is the only podcast in the world where the co-host just doesn't fucking want to be here.
It's amazing. It's a waste of time. Don't talk about shit that I talk about all day anyway.
What's hilarious is we've already spent the first hour and a half chatting before we started filming the podcast. Lloyd's going to be even less interested in shit because I've had interested Lloyd in what I've been talking about for the last hour and a half, and now we're just going to get mumpy grumpy Lloyd. But I'm sure it's fine.
Look, let's talk about already decreased massively in the last hour.
Let's talk about something that I know you want to talk about, and I would love to hear how it went up in Newcastle at the South Tyneside Magic Convention. I really want to know, but I didn't want to get divorced, and I decided on marriage instead of magic, and I think I made the wrong decision because I saw a lot of pictures and videos, and it looked like it was fucking incredible. But as the guy,
I can't speak highly enough about it's called STIMF, South Tyneside International Magic Festival. I use a lot of hyperbole. I think that's the word people accuse me of. I think it's my favorite convention for sure at the minute.
Wow.
Yeah, like. It's definitely best UK convention.
What was so good about it?
Well, it was so intimate. It's limited to 150 attendees. And the lineup is out of this fucking world. Like, we've been over the lineup umpteen times. It was 3 days. I went over it in acute detail. On the Sunday night, we were there and we recorded a Black Art podcast special. So whilst it was all fresh in our head. So if you want to listen to that, I think it's called like the Newcastle or South Shields podcast special from 2 weeks ago. I go over everything. The lineup is out. Like, I cannot fucking get over a council run. By the way, magicians help out with it, but this is a council magic convention. And they literally outshone. I mean, Blackpool's a different beast. And Blackpool's a different type of convention on its own. It's almost a holiday, Blackpool, right? It's not a convention only. But for a council to put on a convention of this absolute caliber, with two live audience shows on the Friday and Saturday night, the lecturers were from another planet. They were just so good. And then the intimacy of it all. I honestly, it's like, I'm not even sure if I'm going to do London Magic Convention this year, but I'll definitely be doing the South Shields.
You might not go to London this year. You like London. I know you like London.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good, but it's a one day thing. I'm completely run down with like this, whatever the hell it is, this type of cold thing. And I've got a bit like, I'm so lazy. Like, I did like, hey, I've done my convention for the winter. I've done it now. But it was like, you know, it was a bit of a mission to travel there. But yeah, I just got to say, like, yeah, it absolutely fucking mind blown, like how good it was. And the community up there is so great. All the organizers were fucking amazing. I just, yeah, Steve Gore, McDuffie, even like the council staff. I'm going to go. If you don't stop me, like I'll just end up going on and on. But it was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal.
And what was the highlight?
Oh, shit. There's not a highlight. We've discussed this heavily on the podcast, the Blackout podcast. There is no highlight, but it was amazing to see. Like Luke Jermaine did a magic lecture.
And he did that at the session as well, I think.
Yeah, and it was phenomenal. Moritz Mueller performing to a live audience twice. Performing to a live audience on a Saturday night on stage. Seeing Giancarlo Scalia performing to a live audience and then teaching everything that he learned there. I know I'm gonna miss names out. Ashley Goodwin did a stage performance to a lay audience, genuine lay fucking audience, like a, I don't know, probably like 500 seater, 3-tier stage theater, and she was doing some of the most complicated sleight of hand I've ever seen perform, like not just laser deals, but like laser deals with a, well, you know, like Leonard Green's type. I don't even know what those sleights are because I don't fuck with that stuff. And she could have gone on stage and done the most basic magic, like invisible decks, and just blown the audience away. But instead, she went up there and did some of the most hard, like I've seen so many lecturers, I've seen so many magic performances. I struggle to think of the last time somebody performed to a lay audience and went that fucking hard with sleight of hand and smashed it. Like that was insane to see live. It was just, yeah, just too much. Oh, Mark Spellman crushed it.
So unassuming as well. Ashley is so, you meet her and you're just like, how can she do what she can do? Because she looks nervous a lot of the time when you meet her, and then she just comes out and she's a, you know,
it was so strange, right? She started off with like a fairly simple routine. You could tell she was like a little bit nervous. And then as soon as she started doing the really, really tough shit, like the stuff that I just don't even go near, that's when you could literally see like her shoulders relax and just start like smashing. It was mental. But yeah, it was like Mark Spellman, the compares were great. Tom Brace was fucking hilarious. What's the other guy called? Captain Calamity or something? He was so good. I honestly just can't rave about it enough. Like it was phenomenal. Like phenomenal. So I'll definitely be going up next year. I just wish they did flights from Cardiff Airport because the train journey was a bit of a nightmare. It wasn't a nightmare, it was just long. But it was so good. So good.
Amazing. Well, that's great. That's awesome.
Didn't you go to a convention whilst I was there or something? Didn't you?
I went to Alakazam the following week. So I was filming at Alakazam Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I was filming like multiple projects. I had a live launch of a new trick, a couple of new tricks, and and then you know, I've got a very busy November. I was escorting Ryan to J-Day last week weekend, so it was the only weekend that I had off in October and November, and it was kind of like, right, okay, I'm not going to be able to do this, else I'm going to get divorced. So,
oh yeah, yeah, makes sense. So
I chose not to be divorced. But yeah, I mean, I'm good. Alakazam, I tell you what, man. Alakazam have always had a high profile, but I was in their shop for 4 days filming a bunch of stuff for them. And seeing how busy they are is insane. Insane. Like, they have bags and bags and bags of stuff getting posted out on a day basis. The stuff that they're doing with the social media, that it's a blueprint to how to run a successful magic company. It really is. I'm so impressed with what they're doing. Like, I was told by the guys at Alakazam that Alakazam sold the second highest amount of demi decks out of any magic shop in the world.
Bloody hell. And there's fucking a lot of demi decks.
Well, I saw Angelo over the weekend transitioning onto demi deck. And, you know, I mean, that guy's a genius. You know, Angelo's an absolute genius. And he's so passionate about every single product he brings out. And he should be. You know, Demi Deck is so good. You know, you and I have been talking about it since day one. It's just a very, very, very strong trick. And as I'm saying this, Lloyd is actually doing Demideck for me. I'm getting a live Lloyd Barnes performance of Demideck.
It's got that rare combination of like that. I don't mean this in the cheap terms, but it's got that toy factor, but it's absolutely, utterly fucking fooling. But also, it's like that tenure factor, I should say. Yeah. But also, you could do this. This doesn't look like a children's toy. You could take this. It just looks like a deck clip or a card game.
It looks like a deck clip. Yeah, exactly. It's great.
And then it does this fucking crazy trick, which you just can't figure out. Yeah, man, he's a genius.
Here's a question for you, and I'm going to give you the context of... And I'm genuinely interested in this, and I'm going to give you the context. So I was just, you know, showing Ryland some magic the other day. We were just talking magic. And I blew his tiny little 10-year-old mind. And I blew his mind with the gift. He had no clue.
Oh, yeah, that's and, fucking barn burner.
Yeah. I just did a simple Karam 101 routine, which he'd never seen the Karam 101 principle either, so that fucked him up. And then I did it with the gift, and he was just like, he had nowhere to go. And I was like, come on, try and work it out. And I spent about half an hour trying to get him to work it out. He had no clue. Now, the gift was amazing. It was the trick of the year from a few years ago. And if people are watching this and haven't seen it, you should go and check out the gift. It's still available. But that brings me to this question. You know that on my channel, I talk about hidden gems all the time, and we stand on the shoulders of giants, and a lot of the older tricks are forgotten and blah, 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 blah. One thing that Penguin do really well is, having worked with them quite a while now and obviously being a subscriber to their mailing list, they constantly re-promote their older items. Even though they've got newer stuff that comes out and they're releasing magic almost every single week, they're constantly re-promoting their older items. And, you know, I saw the other day that they re-promoted the trick from like 7 years ago. You know, they're always re-promoting that. And every single time they do, it goes to number one in the charts, in the charts. My question is, why do Murphys not do that? Because Murphys back catalog through the studio, they've got some amazing tricks. Some of the best tricks that ever came out came through Murphys. But once the tricks come out, the focus of the social media team, the focus of the marketing team, the focus of absolutely everything is the newest trick that comes out, and not necessarily tricks that came out years ago. If Murphys gave a push at like a relaunch of something like the gift, which I talked about on my channel the other day, and nobody had even fucking heard of it. And it was the best.
It's crazy how many people. There's some. Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, I mean, first of all, it's up to the marketing department. There's so many different departments at Murphy's. But if you get to the marketing department, I would imagine, because they're not a retail store, that it would depend. It would probably be like the shops. A shop would probably have to want to consider if they want to promote a new. An old item.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that most shops probably choose to want to have like the newer stuff on their shelves. Like that probably is what sells best for them. I don't know. It's interesting though. I know they've experimented with like performing parts tricks, or they were talking about at some point, maybe just putting some videos up of like hidden gems or buried treasure sort of thing. I have no idea. But yeah, the gift is I had no clue when I first seen it. I actually almost have no clue after seeing it. It's that good. You know, it's just the method's just kind of bizarre in a way.
Not counting your own tricks, what would you say is the best trick that's ever been released that you can think of? All time.
What do you think it is?
Everything you've ever seen.
If you're asking, you probably have one in mind. What do you think?
No, I don't. I'm going to think of it as well. The best trick of all time. Why?
Best trick of all time or favorite trick of all time? Because like best trick has got to be like Svengali deck or something, like invisible deck in terms of like selling figures.
Something that's come out that's, yeah, but not something that's like
I like Svengali Rattled deck, by Dan Haas. I think that was really good. Rattled was a really good trick. I got a lot of mileage out of that. I love Reality Twister from Paul Harris, you know, using the Luba lens.
I think for me, you know what it'd be? The Extractor deck by Alakazam.
Oh, that was good as well. Fuck, I remember Pete and
I remember seeing that when they launched that at Blackpool. Yeah, they fucked me up. I must have gone over to Pete Nardi's stand, Alakazam's stand, about 20 times to watch that. And I bought it the first time I saw it, but I wasn't going to open it until I got back. I never do. And so I didn't know the method, and I just went back again and again and again. And every time I watched him do that, he fooled me more and more and more.
Yeah, it's amazing. Do you know what, a wow gimmick is fucking amazing as well.
Yeah, a lot of people think of wow as like, it's wow. But when that came out, came out to the Magic community, that just completely turned things on its head. That was like, what?
It was like, wow. Yeah, I'm a sucker for like coin uniques though, or 2p 10p coin uniques, or scotch and sodas, whatever they're called.
Like, I missed the day you went to Blackpool and Eddie Gibson would be there. Good old Eddie Gibson.
I don't think I ever went when he was still alive. I only went to Blackpool, my first Blackpool, I can't remember, 2010, whatever year Blaine went.
Yeah, no, you would have been after Eddie Gibson. Yeah, you would have been after. I'm so maybe. Old, I remember going to Blackpool when the dealers were only in the Horseshoe. That's all you had. That's where the dealers were, in the Horseshoe. That's it. That's all they had. I'm so old, I remember when Blackpool was a two-day convention.
So, oh, shit. I'm trying to think, what other good things out there? Yeah, there's some really good stuff. There's a good trick coming out called... it's the whiskey one, the whiskey key. What's it called?
Yeah. Tom Elderfield.
The whiskey miracle. Is it called Whiskey Miracle?
Oh no, I thought you were talking about Hanson Chen and Tom Elderfield. Yeah,
The website's called whiskeymiracle.com. Actually, pre-order starts today, 12 p.m.
It's a
lock-in copper silver coin unique. You know what I mean? But it with keys. So it's on your key ring.
As somebody who loves
key locks magic. In place. And it's examinable. It's fucking... I think this might be one of the things I know I'll carry this with me every fucking day, because the first thing I'll do is put on my keys. I'll never have to think about it ever again.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think this
it's
is
a no-brainer.
But I haven't got it in my hands.
Have you seen this, by the way? I'm going to show you this. This is one of the best things I've bought recently. You know...
Greg's holding up a flashlight, everyone.
No, this is by that leather manufacturer over in Ireland. I can't remember the name.
Gerard Kearney.
Yeah. It's literally just a key fob. It's just a key fob that you put on your keys.
Yeah. It looks like it holds an AirTag.
It's designed to hold 4 coins.
Oh, that's
brilliant. It's literally designed to hold. So from an everyday carry, I do a lot of coin magic. Now, these are my actual keys. I've got Gatekeeper on there. Got Keymaster on there, and I've got this little key fob, and it just has the 4 coins in there. I just have that in my pocket. I love that. I think
wow, that's great. Cool. So I don't know. There's a lot of things. I'm sure I'm forgetting what my favorite things are. Do you know what I really think a good product out is Burn by Daniel Madison. You can now get a physical template thing for it. Physical. Metal thing.
Can you?
But I performed Burn quite a lot over the years, which is you basically burn the pip and the value of a card. It looks like smoky, ghosty sort of reveal into another card. And I got loads of mileage out. I got like fucking... Oh, the Sharpie reveal. It's like Six of Clubs Sharpie. It's another hugely good release. Oh, and it's got... Also, I can't deny it, and I know people look down their nose at this, but the Omni deck. Is it by Sean Farquhar?
Yeah, well, Sean Farquhar now owns the rights to it because it got he bought Palmer Magic, and Palmer Magic own the rights to the Omni deck. So yeah, Sean Farquhar's company.
So who created the Omni deck?
I don't think it was Sean Farquhar that created the Omni deck. I think his company owns the rights to it. I don't think Sean actually created it.
I'd love to know who did create it. Because it starts off at like solid deception. I'm looking here, right? Okay, I'm looking on the Cundrin archive, Dennis Baird's archive. So in 1985, Danny Karem and Jerry Andrews short came up with something called the Omni deck, inspired by Solid Deception, a short, ambitious card routine ending with a clear block of glass. And it was published in Karem Without Limits.
Oh, I've got that book. Okay.
Yeah. Good to know. So have you? Yeah, 1985, apparently that's who created it.
No, that's good to know. I didn't know that. Yeah, the Omni deck is great. And I I think the Phantom deck's very good by Vanishing Ink. I think that they really did a good job with that
one. It is good. I have used the Phantom deck, but it doesn't hit the same. It doesn't hit the same. I don't believe. I don't know other people. For me, everyone's different, but for me, it doesn't hit the same as the Omni deck.
Yeah, the Omni deck is special.
Because you're not just changing its physical appearance with the Omni deck, you're also changing its physical state. So it's completely like flipping it. But there is some cool shit you can do with the Phantom deck. Some really cool
A very old trick by Mark James called Go?
Yeah, it was like five pieces of...
Five little Omni decks that made up one deck, which was, I remember seeing that at the time and thinking that was quite good. And I'm pretty sure Joel Given had a really nice idea as well in The Session, the book The Session by Vanishing Ink, but it was such a long time ago.
That was such a good book. Is that we had like the growing coffee stirrer? Or like you put a long coffee stirrer out of a little sugar packet and some other like really cool types of tricks like that.
Mm. Yeah. I tell you, they're reprinting. Richard Kaufman has just announced that he's reprinting Richard's Elmignac, which is one of my favorite magic books of all time.
Oh, wow. That'd be huge.
Mm, yeah.
Do you and him still have beef? Or?
We kind of quietly hate each other. You know, I can't deny the fact that he is, you know, his impact on the magic community over the last, like, how old is he? 106. His impact on the magic community over the last 100 years has been, you know, amazing. And I don't think there's many people that have done as much for magic as he has. You know, it's just a shame he's a bit of a dick. But, you know, it is what it is.
I can't even remember what you two were beefing about.
Oh, I don't know. There's normally something. It's every week there's something that I'll do that'll annoy him, or he'll do that'll annoy me. I just think we need to sit each other down in the room and have a big cuddle. I reckon that would work.
Yeah, that probably would.
Remember that old Andy Nyman trick, the one with the serial killers, and he had four serial killers, and he told a story about how
Killer Elite.
Yeah, Killer Elite, and how you had four serial killers sitting in a room and the lights go off and three shots are heard. And when you wake up, one person is alive and three are dead, and they have to work out who the one that's alive is. Alakazam owned the rights to that. I think Alakazam need to bring out the magician version. Craig Petty, Michael Weber, Luke Dancy, and Richard Kaufman are in a room. The lights go off, three shots. Which one survived?
I think the new updated version should just be that it just turns into a bukkake party. One of you's getting camped on. Now count to number 1 to 4.
Oh my god. Linking from that to something a little bit more somber. I think we have to talk about the fact that the legend Darwin Ortiz has passed away, Lloyd.
I know. The reverberations throughout the community since he's passed. I feel terrible talking about this directly after that. Jesus Christ, Craig. But man, yeah, what a loss.
You talking about that made me think about this. And I'm not going to go through my internal monologue and tell you why. But it did help me link to it. And I think we should talk about it.
What a loss to magic as a whole. You know, I never really studied a lot of Darwin's work, but when looking and reading other people's work and other people's material and footage, the influence he had on some of the people that I look up to the most is unquestionable. And yeah, it's sad to see another magic flame that shone so brightly go out. But you know, I think they say you die twice, don't you? When you die physically and then when somebody enters your name for the last time. And I really don't think that Darwin is going to... it's going to be a long, long time before someone enters his name for the very last time. He's just such a huge influence on magic. Huge.
Yeah. He was. He really was. And I performed so much of his magic. I have everything he's ever written, and a lot of people forget that it wasn't just card, you know, his card stuff, but his theoretical strong match. Do you ever read Strong Magic?
I don't think I have, to be honest with you.
That's really good. You should check it out.
We've got sections of it, but
it's really, really good. And it's such a shame, but you know, life moves on. I saw a picture on the internet a little while ago, just after he passed away, and it was a picture of him and David Roth looking quite young, standing next to each other. And Roth was holding four coins in a four coin roll down position, and he was holding like a fan of cards, and they were posing next to each other. And it's like, yeah, okay, so we've got the world's greatest card expert and the world's greatest coin expert, and unfortunately, they're no longer with us. And it's such a shame.
I hate shit like that. It's so sad.
But life will move on. You know, somebody asked a question on my Q&A the other day. Who do you think will... He said Darwin Ortiz has passed away. Max Maven has passed away this year. And Harry Lorraine has passed away. Three people who are experts in a particular field. Probably the world's greatest expert at mentalism. The world's greatest expert at... card magic, and the world's greatest expert at memory demonstrations. And they said, who do you think will take up the mantle? Who do you think will look to now as the world's greatest? And I think the natural successor, if there ever was one, to Darwin is Jason Ledain. Danny, I always say his name.
For sure.
Yeah. The person I think who, I don't think you can say there's one person who's going to take on the mantle from Max Maven, but there are so many incredible mentalists. There's just so many knowledgeable, incredible mentalists out there.
I think someone said at Newcastle Magic Convention that potentially Luke Gervais, because people were asking, oh, where does this credit come from? Or because some of the lecturers were like, oh, can anyone help me in the audience where this came from? And like Luke Gervais was like, like spitfiring off like all the details and the information, like right down to like the like 18th century type shit. It was actually like, yeah, it was like watching Rain Man. It was phenomenal. So people like Luke Gervais will carry the mantle, I think, you know, will naturally step into those shoes.
Here's a question for you. I've got one more question. So I got, before we go into the products, I was interviewed by Alan Hudson and Richard Young for their Magicians podcast. You know, the Magicians podcast has come back. Richard Young has brought back the Magicians podcast as a paid
podcast. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you've subscribed, but I have. It's really great.
Not yet, but I will.
Well, he's putting out some great content, and he interviewed me. And he asked a series of quickfire questions. And one of the questions, I mentally made a note of it because I want to ask you this question because I thought it was a really interesting question. What do you think is the biggest lie that magicians tell themselves?
That they are good actors.
Interesting.
What was your answer?
I said the biggest lie that close-up magicians tell themselves is that when you're booked for a corporate event where there's hundreds of people there and you're booked for like an hour and a half or 2 hours of close-up magic, that you have any fucking impact on that fucking venue at all or that event at all, because you haven't. You are literally a box from an event organizer's list of shit that they need to do. It is the equivalent of farting in a wind tunnel. Like, there is no... You've got fucking 500 people in a room and you're there for an hour and a half doing walk-around magic. You could literally walk out the back door, hang out behind the venue for a couple of hours, come back in and go, hey, did you enjoy it? And the client would go, yeah, thanks very much, really appreciate it, because they don't care about what magic you're doing. You're probably going to get around... 1/100th of the people that are there, they just literally have booked a magician because that's the thing that you need to do. You know, now close-up magic does have a place. Absolutely. There's tons of events and there's tons of venues where it is impactful. But one of those ridiculously big corporate events where there's dozens and hundreds of people and you're there doing close-up magic, I think the biggest lie that we tell each other is that we have any fucking impact on that event at all, because we don't.
Do you know what could be another good answer? I seen a video from Pig Cake last night, and it made me stop for a moment and think. It was about the overall topic was exposure, but was the masked magician bad for magic? Right?
I don't think the masked magician was bad for magic. It got so many people interested in magic.
I'm really one of those people that became a magician because of, partly, I had like a few pivotal like experiences, The Math Magician was the first time seeing the secret officially for me behind almost all the tricks that I knew or had seen. And that definitely made me want to be a magician for sure. Because I was then obsessed with magic and wanted to recreate stuff, you know.
And I haven't seen The Masked Magician for years, but I seem to remember from memory, because I was watching it when I was a magician. And I seem to remember from memory, not all of them, but a lot of the methods were just total bullshit, impractical wank.
Yeah, like, a lot of them were just watered down versions of the methods. It was just the tip of the iceberg for us.
A forklift truck doing a levitation. The point is, you know, people are saying, oh, closure, but it's a lot of the methods weren't practical and you'd never perform them anyway. But it got people interested.
It did. Well, I mean, if you look at it now, right, there are, I'm against exposure, like exposing other people's commercial material, like things they've released and stuff. That's why I'm all for teaching magic correctly and teaching your own material. That's a different topic. It's a different field. Exposure is abhorrent. But yeah, The Math Magician, what Pickett says was, it's like, actually, was it good for magic? Are we now in a golden era of magic because of The Masked Magician? Look at the people that went off. So basically, The Masked Magician aired in what, like 95, was it? Or 97? I'm not sure. Maybe a bit later. But it's no coincidence that, say, like 20 years after and the 10, 15 years after that, a new generation of magicians came forth. Oh, thanks to David Blaine as well. And started tearing shit up. Like, magic is one of the most, like, one of the most popular art forms of it, because if it wasn't, they wouldn't be winning fucking every talent show or coming second in the final three of every talent show on the face of the earth. They wouldn't be some of the most popular fucking, the most watched Facebook page in the world. And he's a controversial character, and there's a lot of shit on him. But it was, the last year, I think it was a magic page. It was Julius Dean. Now, not everyone agrees with the way he does magic. I don't agree with all the things he does for magic. But there's no denying that magic was the most watched Facebook page in the fucking world.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many variables that go into this. But just overall, that thought of, well, there is, you know, is there, you know, it's not that, I mean, it's a book, and it's also a documentary called Freakonomics. And they said that in, I want to get the decade right, but it was either like the 70s or the 80s, they wanted to stop crime in America, or they wanted to lower the crime rate. So they did that. To do that, one of the things they did was make abortions legal. And then 18 years later, the crime rate fell, as they predicted. And it was because, and I'm probably paraphrasing and getting a lot of this wrong, so please don't shoot me. But it basically, because some people who like didn't want to have children were being forced to have children, and then because they didn't want them or they couldn't afford them, they were then let, you know, those kids were growing up impoverished and going off committing crimes, blah, 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 blah. But there's a direct correlation from where they had made abortions legal, da, 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 right? Different topic, different day, different fucking podcast. But the idea of Math Magician comes along, exposing magic in a new way to a new generation of people. A decade and a half or so later, magic is now one of the most, you know, viewed entertainment forms on the planet, and there's generations of magicians going hard as motherfuckers. I gotta go. My doors go in a second. Keep talking.
Okay, can you hear me if I keep talking? I'll assume that you can. For my money, I've always thought this when it comes to exposure, and this is something from the Mass Magician era. But also when it comes to exposure on YouTube, I think there's two types of people that watch exposure videos. So I'm not talking about short form TikTok videos. I'm not talking about reels where you just expose something in 20 seconds and just show the gimmick. I'm talking about long form content. So the sort of content that, you know, it's not exposure, but the sort of stuff that Lloyd would put on his channel, tutorials, right? Really well-made tutorials. When you look at long form content, or you look at The Masked Magician, I think there's two types of people that watch that content. The first type of people, and let's use The Masked Magician as an example, the first type of people are people that are just watching just for interest, and you know, The Masked Magician is on and they're interested in what's going on, and they're just looking at it and they watch it and they go, all right, so that's how that's done, that's very clever. Oh, that's how that's done, that's very clever. But it doesn't make an impact on their life. They'll probably forget about it within a week. You know, if they had you know, a base exposed to them, and then a month later they went to an illusion show, they probably wouldn't even put two and two together, right? But then the other type of people that watch those sort of shows are the type of people that have a very analytical mind, people that gravitate towards magic anyway. They're the sort of people that would watch it and get like really excited about, oh my God, this works like this, this works like this. And then that's when they'll delve deeper, and that's when they'll kind of fall down the rabbit warren that is the magic community. So it's a long way of saying that I honestly don't think that it did any harm at all, because anything was exposed, nobody remembers it anyway. But like Lloyd said, it did get a lot more people into magic.
It definitely did get a lot more people into magic. And like, I know there's people that might find that controversial or disagree, but it's undeniable. It's a fact, because I'm at least fucking one of them. You know what I mean? Even and when it comes to like YouTube and stuff, right? Even Shin Lim, Las Vegas headliner, AGT Grand Prix 10-year best of class whatever winner, he started learning magic on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's all well and good people preaching, you gotta learn from books, you gotta learn from the library. The fucking new generation ain't gonna do it. You can scream at them until they're sick and blue in the face. They're not gonna do it. You might find a few people who are dedicated to learning it through books, but it's about delivering the content in the right way, in the morally acceptable way, because otherwise magic's gonna die out. And luckily there are people out there that understand this, that are teaching the new generation and teaching them properly. I'm not talking about myself, but I teach my own stuff, not people's material. But yeah, it's just super, super fascinating to me to see that causation, you know, for a lot of the new generation, or to maybe have my eyes opened. The other thing which I read recently, and I can't remember where I seen it or heard it. I've been talking to Jack Rhodes a lot on YouTube about YouTube stuff. And he like really digs into the data and the analytical stuff. And it might have been from him, but if it wasn't, I apologize. But people who are saying that, like basically, if you see like a short video with magic in it, YouTube doesn't show people shorts that they're not interested in. Or if they do see a magic video and they're not interested in it, then YouTube will recognize that and they won't show them stuff again. People who are seeing these things are generally being recommended by YouTube because they are showing an interest in magic.
Yeah.
And other social media platforms. And I mean, to be honest, well, I'm just going to go for that. It's a topic for another day, but we still haven't covered new products yet.
No, we haven't.
But all in all, magic's in a good place. And I think it's not exposure, but things like the Masked Magician and teaching magic. I mean, it is good for magic.
It is.
I completely agree.
Well, the one thing I will round this whole off by saying, the one thing that I remember most from the Masked Magician program is how sexist the narrator was.
Mitch Pileggi.
I don't know if you remember. He was so sexist. He's like, hey, now comes the beautiful glamorous assistant. Look at that bikini she's wearing. Fuck me, I wish she was
Wouldn't mind squeezing into her box.
So, yeah.
Now I would hope it was the script he was given, but still, it was fucking creepy, wasn't it? It was horrible to listen to.
He's going
to
put swords through her. Wish it was my penis going into that box right now. Like, honestly, go back and watch the fucking creepiest shit.
It was fucking weird. It's funny.
Because it's the 1990s. You could just get away with that crap, but it's like, hey, I'm going to, you know, it's just.
I remember the best trick I remember on there was the silk vanishing from the clear tube. And I made that trick from a drinks bottle, fishing thread, and a silk that I got, or some red handkerchief. And I took it to school and I would fucking show it to everyone who would let me show it to them. And I actually forgot about that until just now. But yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday. Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I wouldn't have done that trick if it wasn't for the TV show.
And
also, loads of people haven't seen it. So I would show it to, I remember like showing it to kids in school. They wouldn't have a fucking clue how I was doing it. But I only watched it because I was interested in magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. I wonder what that says.
You were sad. But yeah, I remember Max Maven, by the way, talking about, I don't know whether you agree with this or not. I remember Max Maven doing an interview many, many years ago. And he said that the type of people that get into magic as a kid are the type of people that are bullied at school, They have very little social skills, and they use magic as a way to give them that thing that's kind of like a superpower that they can do that allows them to kind of communicate and not be, you know, I don't know. That's I don't know if that's the case or not, because I didn't get into
it. It's definitely true for some people, but there's such a wide varying degree of magicians and for reason, and they all have completely different reasons for getting into it. For me, I hid magic. I hid magic completely. I still do. I've spoken about this so many times on this fucking podcast. Anyone from my local area, I don't let them know I do magic unless I end up performing for them. But I don't broadcast it on my Facebook page. I don't broadcast it on my personal Facebook page, you know. I keep it all hush-hush because I don't want people to know. So for me, I was never bullied. I was never made to feel like isolated, and I got into magic. You know, I don't know. Everyone's different than they. I don't. Maybe there's a higher percentage of kids who got into it because they're bullied, but I don't think so. I think it's just complete widespread different amount of people thing. Different widespread reasons. Sorry, I'm multitasking. I am. That's why I'm going off on tangents.
This is phase two. Phase one is he starts getting like a little bit more distant. Looks at the clock. Looks at the door.
Completely lost interest.
What's going on? And then point two, phase two is he picks up something and starts playing with it. It could be watching a snooker. It could be picking something up off his desk.
It's the Irish Open.
Yeah, there you go. It could be watching the Irish Open. It could be like even making a fucking gimmick or photo, you know, making something on his computer. That's phase two. Then phase three, he gets to the point where he's just completely had a fucking enough and he starts moaning about the podcast and just going, I fucking hate this shit. And part four is we have to finish really quickly before he has a mental breakdown. So we're currently at point two right now, which isn't too bad. I recognize these signs.
We're close to point three. I won't tell a lie.
Does Jake have to put up with this? Can I ask?
They're only 45 minutes podcasts.
Oh, right. Okay. So no, then.
Which we are already over at this point. We've overrun by this point.
Okay. Well, let's have a look. Why don't we have a look at... I believe we've done sorry, not sorry. Let's do new products, shall we? What have we got?
What have we got? I have no fucking clue. I haven't looked at new products for ages.
Well, I will tell you some new ones. So we have Vanishing Sunglasses. This is something that's being pushed quite heavily by Murphy's. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen that actually. It's not a Murphy's trick, is it?
No, but it's like they're promoting it, you know. Like,
oh, I haven't fucking seen it. See, I see like a gif of it just before we started this podcast, and I looked on the homepage or something to see.
Why don't you have a quick look at this and rate it for everybody? Because I haven't seen.
I'm not going to do that. Go on. I can't be bothered to do that. No. I know what the trick is. You put a pair of sunglasses, you wrap a napkin around the center of a pair of sunglasses, you have somebody pinch onto the napkin so they can see the two halves of the sunglasses sticking out, kind of like you would with a vanishing pencil trick. And then you clap your hands and the sunglasses vanish, and you ball up the paper and toss it away and then quickly run after it and pick it back up again.
Yeah, that looks quite good. That sounds quite good.
It's probably better than I think it is, because that vanishing pencil trick, I always thought theoretically the sound of it, like not the actual sound of it, but the thought of that effect, you just smash your hands on it and then you don't open up your hands to show it's gone, that never sounded appealing to me. But then I see the reactions from it. I've seen loads of magicians perform it. I've seen lots of magicians perform it live, and it fucking slays. So it's one of those tricks where I think if I was to judge it purely on watching it online, I'd probably be like, yeah. But I bet it does get good reactions. It's probably why it's been released, I'd assume.
Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean?
I haven't actually seen it myself, yes. So, okay, that's interesting. We've also got other news. There's not that much new magic out at the moment. We've got something called the Time Machine. Have you heard of that?
Which one? There's fucking loads of them in there.
Yeah, no, there's this thing called the Time Machine. I really don't think it looks very good. It's by a guy called Hugo Valenzuela or something. And basically, it's based on Back to the Future. So it's a, you've got a deck of cards and you have a card picked and loses lost in the deck. And then you bring out a little mini DeLorean. And it's meant to be like a walk around version of the thing where the car goes back and forth over the deck and finds the card. But it kind of just looks a bit obvious to me when I watch the trailer. It looks very, very obvious. And then it stops in a single card and then the doors flap open and close to say it's found a chosen card. And then, you know, it's
is it kind of like that Tamariz trick that he used to do on television in like the 90s where he had the little red car that would drive along?
Yeah, it's a little, like the Corwinder car or whatever it's called. It's a little bit like that, but
yeah. Is it kind of like that?
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, but you're not having anyone push the card. It's meant to look like it's driving itself along the deck, but it doesn't really look like that. It looks like you're pushing it. I don't know. Maybe I need to actually look at the whole thing, but from the trailer, it looks a bit... Me and Ryland watched it because Ry's a big fan of Back to the Future, and we were like, oh, I bet that's really good. And we watched the trailer, and we both looked at each other and went, yeah, maybe not. But I don't know. I haven't watched it. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. And then Julio Monturo is back. I mean, he's bringing out so much magic now. Like, every week he brings out a new trick. This one looks super visual. Have you seen it?
Is this called
Slow Vanish?
Yeah, it's not his to release, though. It's been done a bunch of times. It's been done, like, at least three times by other people.
Okay, so he's brought it out without asking for permission or something.
Yeah, looks like it.
Wow. It looked really good. I've never seen it before.
There's actually some really fucking good versions of this that take it. So the method he's using there is the basic one that's been published. But Tom Eldfield's got a great version where instead of using a black line, you put headphone cords over the box and they slowly melt through the deck. It's called... What's it called? Waves or something is fucking wicked, and it's essentially the same method, but way better, way more fooling.
Okay.
Why did I just get billed?
Did we talk about
35 quid for Apple?
Did we talk about Giant Robot last time we filmed one of these? I don't think we did. Did we? Did we talk about Giant Robot by Josh Bird?
No. The fuck is that?
This is actually really good. So Josh Birch, who works in the marketing department for Penguin Magic and has bought a lot of stuff over the past, he's just brought out something called Giant Robot.
Okay.
And basically, this is really smart. I very much like this. So what happens is he's got this deck of cards. He brings out this little instruction sheet and he says, we're going to play a game. And the game's called Find the Robot. And he brings out this kind of what looks like the instructions for the game. And it's got a picture of the robot, and it says, to win the game, find the robot. So he puts that down on the table, and he brings out 10 cards. And each one of the cards has got a different image on them. So they've got, but one of those cards is a robot. So there's 10 okay. images, all different, but one of those images is the robot. And he says, the idea is, you got to find the robot. If you find the robot, you win the game. So then he shuffles these 10 cards and he does what is in essence a 10-card poker deal, but a different handling of a 10-card poker deal. But he does a 10-card poker deal. And then after doing the 10-card poker deal, obviously he's left with 5 cards and the assistant's left with 5 cards. And the spectator obviously has made all of the choices, turns over the 5 cards, and they don't have the robot. The robot's in the other 5 cards. So they've lost. And then Josh opens up the instructions where it says, find the robot to win. And when he opens it up, there's another page inside that says, unless you get the giant robot and then you win. And he takes the 5 cards that they've picked that they had the choice for and they made all the choices. And it's a little bit like he puts the 5 cards together. And when he puts them all together, it makes a giant robot.
Oh, that's
cool. Five images. Yeah. And so he ends up going, you won because you got the giant robot.
That's cool. I expect like a giant robot reveal to happen. So like you found the cards and then you place them down on the table, lift them up, and there's a fucking robot under it.
No, it's not that clever.
I like it a lot.
And then I think you know, the one thing that we have to talk about, I'm very excited about, that I did a video on. I don't normally do videos on stuff like this, but I did a video on this. Have you seen Phil Smith's latest trick?
No. What's this?
You haven't. You haven't seen.
No. Have I seen it? What's it called?
I did a full video on this. Have you not seen the video? It's called, here, I'm going to send you a link now. It's called, and what, seriously, the trailer's 1 minute long. Just watch the trailer, because I would like to get your thoughts on this. Genuinely, okay. I think this is one of my exciting to come out for a long time. And he's self-releasing it. It's going through his own website. I've just sent you the link. So this is called, actually, just narrate the trailer just for this one. It's called
Fusion Mosaic Phenomenon. Okie dokie. Talk for a second, because I'm just getting head
around. Okay, so Fusion Mosaic Phenomenon, I did a video on it, and some of you guys might have seen the video or might not have. This is a deck that Phil is got for pre-order right now, and it's coming out, and it's going to be shipped mid-November. He's just waiting for the cards to come back. They're already on order. And it's based on technology that he used and developed for Ryland's AGT semi-final act. So if you guys remember the semi-final of Ryland's AGT act, he had loads of individual photos from the audience. And he took all of those 9 photos and brought them up on stage, and they all looked like random stuff. And then when he put those 9 photos together, it made a picture of me and him. So after doing that and working with Phil on it, I said to him, you should make a deck of cards like this, because that would be the coolest photo deck in the world. And that's what New Fusion Mosaic Phenomenon is. He's very open and honest about what it is. It's a photo deck.
Wow. Designed. This looks so good.
It's incredible.
This is so fucking good. Holy shit. How does he even make these images?
He's not telling anybody. He developed the system, Ryland's Act, and now is using it for this deck of cards. But the whole idea is that you've got 5 banks of 9 cards, so 45 cards, and each bank makes up a different image, and you've got 5 force images, which are the 5 psychologically most desirable images you've asked somebody to draw something. So, which are, you know, dog, car, blah, 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 house, so on and so forth.
So this you've is got actually these fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, so you've got these 9 banks of images. Now, everything's marked on the back. So you can see all of the... it's marked in so great detail. You can see it from a mile off. So literally, you can do a lot with it. I mean, there's tons you can do with it. But I've had this deck for about 3 or 4 weeks now, so I've actually gigged with it. And my favorite thing to do is to give the deck out to be shuffled, have them shuffle the deck, have them take an image and look at it and remember it and shuffle it into the pack, and then just go through the deck and take out cards that I think will help me work out his image. So I just take 9 cards out and put them on the table just randomly, because it's so easy to find them because they're marked.
I know what you're going to say next.
What?
Like a Paul Curry's Superior Swindle.
Paul Handel Swindle Switch, exactly, yeah. So I take the 9 cards out, they change them into an order, and they lay them out on the table. And they look at the cards as they're laying them out on the table. And when you push them all together, it becomes the image that they're thinking of. I mean, it's incredible.
So good. I love, for example, the dog image now. Because it's so cool. It's like 9 random images. And like one of them is, it looks like a wooden teapot. The next one is like a little cheese board. The other image looks like some reeds and a piece of wood. And then when you put them all together, it makes the same image of the dog almost exactly. But if you were to look at each one individually, it's like, oh, this is like a bit of like a little, there's like a wooden piece of tree. It's fucking crazy.
In America's Got Talent. And Phil,
it just looks so real.
He's built it into a deck of cards. It's so clever.
Oh, God, I need this deck in my life.
It's really
the ethereal good. Photography of Curtis Bologna. Now, is that a real...
He's made it. No, it's a fake thing. He's made it look like a photography deck, like it's images that have been put together by a particular photographer.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. That's definitely my favorite thing from this week, I think.
Well, I'm glad I could show you something that you weren't aware of. It's he's got them on pre-order at the moment for £30, but when they're actually, which is a great price.
Yeah.
£30. And then when it actually goes live on the website, it's going to be £35. But I think it's one of the best things that I've seen this year.
Yeah, it's so good. He's going to sell thousands of these. Or he fucking well should.
I can't see why he wouldn't. It's just, it's different. That's what I love about it. It's not a card trick, not a coin trick. It's something different. And, you know, I love photo decks. You and I have played around with photo decks a lot in the past. And I think David, Jonathan and Dan Harlan Snaps is great. I just think that this is just next level. The only person...
Yeah, it's just the natural evolution of it. I mean, Snaps was released years ago, so it's only
the only person who could put this together is Phil Smith. Like, he's just a genius when it comes to this sort of thing. An absolute genius.
Unbelievably good. Sick. Right then, any more products or are we good?
We have entered phase three, ladies and gentlemen, boys and
girls
of all ages. We are on phase three. We are moving ahead to phase four. Buckle up. We're about to end this podcast very, very
phase four is Lloyd just fucks off.
I end up wrapping the podcast up on my own because Lloyd has done one. No, I don't think there's any more. Can you give us a sneak peek? Is there something coming out through Murphy's soon? Have we got a new Murphy's trick coming out?
I do believe. Ooh, I hope we'll get slaughtered for this. There may be another release from a certain... Oh, no, I don't know if I'm allowed to say. It's not from me.
Oh, fucking... Come on. You just said yourself, nobody listens.
Oh. I'm a bit on edge whether I should tell you or not. There was a clue what I just said there. Craig's face is like jaw open. I can't say anything.
That one?
Yes. Yeah, that one.
Ah, the.
I'm unsure whether I should say anything.
This.
Yes. Yeah, I believe that's tension.
I've had that for about 3 years. I don't, you know,
a lot of professionals have performed this over the last few years. It's on social media.
Oh, it's fucking incredible.
I do believe that a lot of those pros are in the trailer as well. So, I can't say anymore, but yeah, that's coming soon. I believe that's next anyway.
I'm very
mainly excited. Because I see a draft of the trailer, so that means that the time I see a draft of a trailer, it means it's close to release.
I'm excited, man. That's okay. Okay, well, I don't think we did our sorry, not sorry earlier on, so I don't think we've got anything. You know, we talked about exposure, I don't think we've got anything else to talk about. I think, you know, I let you go.
Yeah, that'd be so
lovely. I think you've got a busy day ahead of you.
I'm actually in the mood. My nose seems to have cleared from all the chatting, which is bizarre. Maybe I need to do more often, but I do have so much I need to do today. A lot of like life admin stuff, but a lot too.
Well, you know, this is probably the shortest podcast we've ever done, and it's in well over an hour. So,
yeah, we've been on the phone for 2 hours. In the middle of a fucking working day.
I will say, by the way, that Lloyd showed me a trick before we started filming. And I'm not going to say anything because it's not my place to say, but I'm going to tell you this. And I know I'm going to get kicked from a few people going, you're saying this because it's Lloyd. Well, fuck off. No, I'm not. It's probably the best version of that plot that I've ever seen, bar none. And I'm really excited about it. And I really hope that you do something with it at some point soon because it's fucking incredible. And you fooled the shit out of me with it.
A drunk Michael Murray, so it has to be said. A drunk Michael Murray said to me at Newcastle.
I'd just like to point out before you say that a drunk Michael Murray is way more intelligent than pretty much 99% of the magicians out there.
No, I thought I'd say a drunk Michael Murray, and he was saying it to my face. So obviously he's being much kinder. But he said, if I held a gun to his head there and then, he couldn't tell me the method. He was completely fooled by it. But drunk and to my face. So take that with a massive pinch of salt.
You were bullying me. You were like, tell me how it works. I'm like, I don't fucking know, Lloyd. No,
everyone I'm showing this to currently, I'm begging them to figure out the method, because when the time it comes to share with other magicians, I want to, if they say, oh, I think it works like this, then I can go, okay, what can I put into the script, or what can I add to the effect or the method or the performance that will counter that thought? So far, no one's guessed it. Well, one person sort of was there-ish. There's a factor to go with that as well. So, yeah, but so I'm not really getting any feedback that helps me at the minute, which is a good thing, but it's also a really fucking bad thing. It's super fooling, but I'm not able to see with a fresh pair of eyes what could be the fallout of it. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to release it, though. Or if I do, what I've learned is that, no, I won't say it out loud, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But I don't think I'm going to release it.
What were you going to say?
This isn't something I'd be comfortable putting out as a big release, because when you have big releases, like this is something that you've got to, I don't know, I'm trying to think of what's the closest thing to it. In a strange way, this is kind of a bit like the Crosscut Force. Do you know what I mean? In the loosest terms possible. And I think that day one beginners would butcher this and hate the method.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But anyone that performs wouldn't. But I don't know. I'll see. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. At the minute, I'm just happy fooling the fuck out of people with it.
Have you shown it to Pete Turner yet?
Nope, haven't shown it to Pete yet. Haven't shown it to Kaylee yet. But I'll try and get that on camera when I'm happy with where it is. I love that Pete and Kaylee are in the same conversation. But you know, if she guesses it, then I know it's not right or it's not ready. But I'm trying to think who else I've shown it to. I've shown it to a bunch of people, but yeah, so far no one's guessed it. Which I want them to, because I want to fucking improve the method. I want to cover up what the flaws could be that led them to thinking of that.
Yeah, well, I have no idea.
Thanks, man. Thank you, dude.
Right.
Well, you showed me something which fucking is a worker's dream.
I think it is, you know, I really do. I think it is.
It's a worker's fucking dream. Super clean. Everything can be examined.
Thanks, man.
I won't say no more. Let's just stop this. People get pissed off when we get excited about our material. They confuse excitement for hype.
Let's not open that can of worms. We can get into that one day in the future, but let's not open it right now. No, I want to say thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Thank you, Lloyd, for being present for the majority of it. We'll be back again next week, if Lloyd can be bothered, with another podcast. If you're not going to be here next week, Lloyd, let me know beforehand so I can arrange a replacement. That's the plan.
Okay. I'm not here.
Don't just say now to get out of it. No. If fuck off. If there's a reason why you can't do it, you know, a day before.
I'm busy.
No, you're not. Fuck off. This is not you weaseling your way out of it and it becomes standard. This is me getting.
Okay, I've got to go. Kaylee's coming through the door and she's about to head back out. I've got to go.
Have
a shit week, you bunch of pigs.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. I gotta go as well. Okay, bye.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.